Hey everyone, you're listening to episode 28 of Doggett Club. In this episode, we start out with a little bit of political talk about, you know, the continuing sexual assault scandals that are going on. We talk about some Christmas movies in this episode, and then the majority of the episode is talking about TV shows such as Vikings, Walking Dead, and Doctor Who. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and it is snowing in South Texas right now, so I'm just like super hyped about that. Christmas, like, it never snows down here, so it really feels like it's Christmas time. But I hope you enjoy the episode. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/doggettclub.
He's not Trump's base isn't going to believe it. It'll be fake lies. News. It's so, fake. In my opinion, it could destabilize the country more if they find something. Because
bring it on.
Fuck that.
Bring it on. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Why the hell would I see? That's the thing.
Let's bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table.
That's the problem I have right now. Let's is both sides are so extreme to where I got people at work saying bring it on, and then I got, you know, Evans over here saying bring it on.
I'm being facetious.
I don't want
like everybody to goddamn calm down.
Like, I don't want a war. I don't want people killing. I'm not ready to take up arms. I don't think our government is that bad either under any of the presidents recently. Including Trump. It's not the end of the world. It's not. I'm not going to quit my day job and get a gun and go out and say, oh, we're going to stop this. Fuck that.
Okay, what do y'all think about him pronouncing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel today?
I'm not informed
on the situation. My gut instinct says it's a stupid move. Just and it just inflames the situation.
It's going to create more chaos.
It's hopeless, but I don't think that I don't think they could. Any administration, they've all failed to broker a two-state solution.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. A part of me just thinks the Palestinian territories need to be given back to Egypt and Jordan or wherever, and just because they're split. The weird thing about the two-state solution, it's split into two separate areas that are completely divided with Israel dividing them. What kind of nation state do we know of that has that sort of structure? To me, it's kind of silly. Like, it's like, I kind of support it because I think it's the only option we got for peace.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, so we're going to have this area and this area be totally separated by this, you know, the nation that they wanted to separate from. That's weird. But yeah, I think it's overall, I think Trump doing that Jerusalem thing, I don't think it's a good idea on the face of it. I haven't read a lot about it, to be honest, though. I just think it seems to be creating tension already. There's people complaining about it in the Middle East, so he's not exactly the best diplomat.
Oh, and I'm sure he's well informed on the whole situation.
Well, he probably did.
I'm sure he's an expert on the whole
people probably tried to inform him. Yeah. He just didn't listen.
I don't think he took a second. He just what do I say? I think it's that. I think they just shove as many of the words as they would like him to say into his face, and then they shove him out to the microphone. It's like, okay, go. Oh. They just do the sign of the cross and just hope he gets enough of what they actually want him to say out before he starts like, yeah, that Elizabeth Warren's a real twat, huh? Like, it's.
Al Franken was in the news today. Senator Al Franken.
How about Danny Masterson?
Fuck that guy. They've been saying he raped girls like since when he was on that set, like from way back.
Yeah, so on the Al Franken case, now there's Democratic senators telling him to resign. Several women senators, Democrats, are calling on Franken to step down.
I called it when he ran for governor. I'm like, dude, he was a writer on SNL. He's done coke. He's written raunchy jokes. I'm like, that's a hard bridge to, and he did it for a while. I've said it from the beginning. That's a hard bridge to gap. Crude jokes that you can get away with as a comedy writer, will kill your career. What does that say about, then who the fuck can we elect to be?
The woman today that came out, she said that Franken, like, she turned around and then he was right in his face, he was right in her face, trying to kiss her, and she, you know, rejected him, and she storms out of the room or starts to walk out the door, and Franken supposedly yelled out, "It's my right as an entertainer."
Oh my god.
That's what she said. He said something like, I he may have exactly said that
verbatim.
I'll get the quote.
It's my right as an entertainer. I mean, at least he didn't say, because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, you're going to like me.
I think I got it.
See, look, Justin.
Yeah. It's my right as an entertainer.
He says that as she's leaving. What the fuck? What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
I kind of have to say, I mean, these people need to step down. Oh, Senator Franken needs to step down, and this Moore guy that's running needs to stop.
It's the liberals and the goddamn lesbians and the conspiracy.
And that,
yeah, Mr. Moore, it's a conspiracy.
And that right there is what colored my thinking into thinking that even if Mueller found something on Trump, that the people that are for Trump aren't going to believe it. They're going to think that it is a power grab and it could create instability. That's where we're at. This country's like on high tension mode. And no one believes either side. If the Washington Post or New York Times or whatever reports it, it's always false. But if Breitbart, Red State, Fox News, if each side goes to their little corner.
I still maintain the dissemination of information and how people get informed is officially the most important issue facing our country.
How do we deal with that though?
But it's going to destroy the United States. The way we parse out information and we've allowed it to be so partisan and so crazy.
But
all of this distrust with journalists, period. It's all in how what we describe as quote unquote news and quote, we're so bad at classifying the things we consume.
Right.
It's just this big news and entertainment has become this big amorphous blob because of things like the. I mean, look at like morning shows. Look at the
welcome.
Like the Today Show or any of the morning show. These 9-hour morning shows.
Morning Joe.
That bleed from. Oh, hold on. I'm talking very specific. Not those. I'm talking very specifically the ones on like network TV.
Like Good Morning America.
Good Morning Today. Okay. Today Show. Listen to the words I'm saying. Like the ones that are like 7 hours long, where they have like segments. They have Hoda and Kathy Lee bleeding into like the news reporters with it bleed into. And it's just this big, noisy 6-hour block of some quote unquote news and a lot of just fiddle faddle. And then more, like you were saying, the goddamn Fox News and MSNBC, where it's that exact same thing, but all day long, where it's like, that goes from, oh, we're just an opinion show. We're just fiddling around. And here's the series. And then there's going to be a lot of screaming here because we're, and it's just news. That's why I do like, I mean, yeah, it's depressing, but when you look at like the typically international reporting, there's no reason for it to be too American news.
It's much less.
Grater. So like sometimes, yeah, it's depressing, but I'll watch Al Jazeera America just to hear someone talking sincerely and with the appropriate tone about actual things that are happening. And I leave the segment going, I know what's a little bit of what's happening in Syria right now.
Yeah.
Hey.
CNN International is another.
Oh no! Didn't you hear the president said they're garbage? And
well, CNN is garbage as far as I'm concerned, but CNN International is a different channel. You get it sometimes at hotels when you're traveling, and it's just straight up stories, just journalists.
It's not the president's place to say that something is garbage or not. But that's not the world we live in anymore. Now it's completely appropriate for the president to say whatever the fuck he wants.
And it's perfectly appropriate for anybody can now run for president, no matter what you've done, or as long as there's
if you want to know just the fact that the sex assault thing's going on, and one of the most obvious sex assault guys is the president, it undermines all of it. If he's not going to be held accountable,
nobody cares about the one with the president for some reason. Why is that?
Why is it that we can have that audio tape? And the second out of his mouth, him saying that it's not real, everybody doesn't go, oh, fuck you, dude. Of course it's real. That's you. That's absolutely you. Undeniably you. You didn't deny it was you when it came out. And now all of a sudden you're, no, that's you. Why is that not damning it of why nothing makes sense anymore. Like, I don't get it. He can just spout off, no, that's,
well, keep in
that's
mind,
a fake fabrication. It's like, no, it's not, dude.
But
what?
The Trump stuff broke before the Me Too movement really got off its feet. I mean, go back to Bill Clinton. There's plenty of women. You can go to the Wikipedia page of allegations. And back then, people just kind of said, eh,
yeah,
whatever. I don't believe it. Yeah. Maybe it's not as new as we think, this disbelief. Like, I don't know. People.
No, it's just, it's 10 times what it was now.
Well, it's pretty bad in the Roy Moore case, I'll say that. Because there's just it's too gross. Much evidence.
There's too much.
And people don't care. Not, it's all fake. Gonna,
like, and I'm sorry, I'm not one to victim shame and say, is there a chance some people that step forward that it's bullshit? Maybe, but it is not our place to say so.
Right.
You know whose place it is to say so? Law enforcement.
Yeah, well, couldn't a Roy Moore voter take that mentality? No.
I'm sorry that the public court of appeals right now is damning. Like you know, with like Louis C.K., it's just the public court of appeal went
guilty until proven innocent.
Sorry, buddy. You're fucked. Like, and without any law, right. He just went, okay, I'll just bow out and goodbye. Like,
not everybody says goodbye, though.
I mean,
CK has so far, but, and it looks like he's done.
Right now, sorry, folks that get caught up in it. It is real hot right now. And if you get called forward as a creepo, even a little bit.
You know, Matt.
Matt Lauer is disgusting.
But what I'm saying is, he admitted that some things happened that you know that are true. But he also said that some things that were brought forward are not true. So it's like
has a button on his desk that closes and locks the door.
Well, there is a risk. I'm not ready to condemn I think there's differences in each case. Some cases make it clear that the women are more credible. Like, for instance, with Roy Moore, one of the women that alleged that he dated her had his signature in her high school yearbook. Yeah. So that's corroborating evidence. Now, if it's just one person, one woman that says it, and she's got nothing else to go on, I'm not saying she could very well probably is telling the truth. But are we, if it, does it just take, my answer,
well,
this
Matt,
is complicated,
Matt Lauer
but if
is
it
a
does,
little bit, he's had accusations for like,
but not Matt Lauer, I'm decade, I'm giving like, a hypothetical, Evan, think about it. If there's only one woman that says it and there's no other evidence, are we prepared to say that person's career is over?
It's not
as
my
a
place.
Society?
It's not my place. But not my place. Now, do I want to see people go down that don't deserve to go down? No, I don't want to see anyone lose their career. For no reason, or for something that comes out to be not true.
I know,
true.
I'm but asking I'm, a tough question. I can't answer it
but,
myself.
Well,
but,
I mean, yeah.
But,
like,
if you get accused of some shit, you better be ready to go, no, I didn't, and here's why I can say that, so sorry.
Right, but...
If you can't,
okay.
I don't know, dude.
But if you don't have evidence...
Don't be creepy.
...to defend yourself, and they don't have evidence to prove that it happened,
right?
Like, where do you go?
Right, it's a tough call. I mean, it's to me.
At this point, I'm looking at my natural fear of women, and like when I was a younger kid coming up, junior high, high school, college age, I now look at my that in sort of a fear of women. Now that was a highly refined instrument of avoiding some pitfalls of life that I don't have the emotional. You know, stability now as an adult to have deal with. Like, I'm glad I can truthfully say I have never fallen into this mistake. I've had three or four girlfriends my entire fucking life. All of them pretty long relationships. Yeah. A lot of alone time. 34 years, baby. Done. Flawless fucking record. I've never been gross. I've never been forceful. And you know what? Yes, that's worked against me. Cause I never went out there and, you know, did golly, hey, ladies. Like, I never felt comfortable, never wanted to. It felt weird.
I agree.
I know you guys are in the same boat.
I've never done something that was not consensual.
And for anyone listening, we're not fucking kidding. I went dateless through all of high school.
Well, so did I.
Dateless not, through wait, ma- not, a majority dateless? Of. Co- Dateless,
definitely
dateless.
Girlfriendless, date. But I may have
definitely
been a date.
Girlfriendless. Pretty sure I was dateless.
I'm pretty sure I peaked in junior high.
I had a girlfriend in kindergarten.
Oh, that's a
thing. I dated twins in kindergarten.
Oh, okay, but guys,
what's up? I peaked way early.
I had an off and on girlfriend between fourth and ninth grade. Like, same
I had
girl.
Nothing. No one. Never went to parties with girls. Barely went to dances. Awkward. I'm awkward. I have a deep root of my being is how socially awkward I am. And I love my girlfriend now. She's just as awkward as me.
All right, Taylor, what were you going to say?
Well, my point was that it goes back to my question I was asking y'all.
You need to fear me, ladies.
It seems like the public has decided as a group that there is one or two cases isn't enough, right? Like no one was like yelling for Al Franken to resign.
Right.
Then it was like one more little weight added to the pendulum for it to just fall apart for Al Franken. And it was earlier today when that woman came out and said, you know, that he tried to kiss her and then said,
he needs to
did he say?
Too
it's
many,
my right as
too
an entertainer.
Came out. No, he needs
and
to
that's
let
it.
Go.
So I have it.
Which
that was,
sucks because he's a good politician, but he needs to go.
This is what I've noticed. People in the entertainment industry, when the allegations come up against them, or just accusations, not even allegations, accusations come up against them, you know, they're done. They either get fired or they, you know, apologize and resign from whatever they're doing. With politicians, you know, it hasn't been that way. They've stayed in office or they've stayed running.
They've tried.
But Al Franken is the bridge to that gap.
Oh, yeah, because he was a comedian.
Because he's both.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that will, like, tip the scales so that, I don't know.
Well, there was another congressman, Democrat. He was an African-American.
He needs to start coming forward with some...
Oh, Al Franken?
Yes.
If he's innocent? I don't think he's innocent.
I don't think so either.
I think he's guilty.
Guilty!
Before, no one would give a shit. This country, for decades, this would not... People would have been like, oh, so he, you know, he did a few... touched a woman on her rear end and big deal.
Yeah.
Most people just wouldn't...
Yeah.
It's good. I would actually argue it's probably a good thing that we're doing this. Because, I mean, there's a lot of sickos that need to be...
outed.
There's so I get women have to face this crap way more than we do. We never, you know, we never have to be put in these situations for the most part.
It's old attitudes. Old fucking old values were attacked. Well, what's wrong with touching a lady on her bottom?
Though
she's a fine looking.
The bigger point is that the world is changing. Women are becoming more empowered. Finally, even more, we're accepting of
equality between the sexes
and between like orientations.
Yeah,
I mean that's still got a ways to go, as well as racism. But
we've made progress.
There's
been a lot of progress actually. Yeah. People. Even today, even with the craziness going on with the alt-right and everything, and with the left actually getting more socialist, it's still, it's getting better. Even with that crap going on, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think that's part of it getting better. It has to come out for it to be resolved and, you know, part of our history. This stuff happened. People should be held accountable for the things they've done. And women feel like they could finally come out, or not even just women. People feel like they can come out and...
So if we've come so far, why doesn't Trump step down? Remember when the news originally broke with the tape? The Billy Bush tape that came out. And remember
it's
how
fake.
Everybody...
It's fake. The president said it's fake. Taylor.
Everybody
no
was...
Need to go
everybody
yeah,
was
fake.
I heard
Billy
that,
Bush said it's real.
I heard that Pence was going to be the backup with Condoleezza Rice as the VP. They planned this... they thought Trump would have to step down as a candidate. Turned out no one gave a fuck.
Here's
crazy, huh?
Here's the crux of the whole thing. As usual, the easy work, the easy shit. Not easy from the victim's point of view coming forward. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the chitter chatter about it. And the, well, step down. That's easy to do. The hard work is changing ourselves and the real root of society, the way we go about ourselves. Really, like, not just lip service, but the real work of making a substantive change in baseline society, how we view women. This has been coming forever.
Yeah.
There's inequality in pay, like, same candidate, one's female, one's male, male's getting paid more. Why? He has a penis. That's fucking insane in common knowledge and normal. Well, lady, they're already in, like, the tech sector. They're talking about how CEOs and COOs.
I want to know where that voice was going.
CEOs and COOs are already saying, we're going to, they're showing that there's an uptick in not hiring women because they don't even want to have any of these sex scandals attached to their companies. So they're just going to, because that's how to fix it. Just don't hire women.
It is illegal. You can get sued for that.
Federal government, it's illegal by statute, too.
Yeah.
Like, HR departments have to be real careful.
It's pretty obvious that you can get away with quite a bit now in America.
You could always get away with it. The way they get away with it is they just quietly just kind of put the applications to the side that they don't necessarily want. They never say anything about discrimination.
It's
just understood, and it's probably happening to women right now to an extent. But
how about we?
I personally think.
Would you like some pizza, Taylor?
Oh, yeah. It's done. Yeah, let's do that.
Do that.
Let's do that.
Huh. Are the little nerd babies done talking about marching band? Reminiscing about the good old days when you were pimply-faced teens? You know what, folks? There's more important things to worry about in this world than high school days gone sour. You know what I mean there, Jack?
Like what?
I definitely don't want to be called a diddler. Apparently everybody's a goddamn diddler now.
Sir, you can't say goddamn on the radio.
Except for Roy Moore. He's an upstanding, fine man. These hysterical women coming forward. So fiddle-faddle. Except for that Al Franken guy. You can just look at him and see that he's sneaky. Sneaky and sly and probably stiff. It's because he's a giant anti-Semite. Did you guys get that? The Rush is a huge anti-Semite and he thinks a Jew. Anyway.
You got a little more.
Yeah, get out of here. What? What's that?
Got a little more time, Rush.
Well. Wonder when I'm going to go down. You know for a fact that I have forced my greasy body onto some poor production assistant along the slimy path to prominence that I trod. Didn't anybody? Anybody want to come forward and accuse old Rush of being a sleazy disgust? Maybe one of my, remember how I'm a junkie? Maybe in one of my drug-fueled, crazy, drug-fueled, I just happened upon some anyway. God bless America. God bless it. Justin, counting that down like we're in a radio studio. Like, WNBC.
You got 5 seconds left.
WNBC. Pig vomit. Nah. That movie Rush. Weirdly holds up. The Howard Stern movie? What was it? Smaller parts?
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti plays the producer guy. Like, is a really good movie. They like all they did it just surrounded Howard Stern with people that can actually act.
Yeah,
a good ass movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
I like Howard Stern.
When I first watched it, you know, they like cut away to like people talking about him, like, and I thought those were the actual people,
no,
but it's like
actors,
just the actors,
clever,
like, very clever.
Pig vomit. What's that? Pig vomit. I get it. Like, just having the stupid microphone in front of your face with the little circle thing and hearing your voice in your head, I see how that's intoxicating. If I was born 10 years earlier than I was, I would have gone into radio like hardcore. It's a dead end profession now. But boy, howdy.
I do like this.
Oh, hey there, everyone. Welcome to... Oh, hey, here we go. It's like crack.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, welcome to WAMP in the morning. We're here with the mayoral candidate, Trixie. Ficklebottom. Trixie, how are you doing? It's just like noise.
You know, one of these days we need to interview Rush on the show. Get him on the show.
Hey, Chet, let's we're gonna have Robert Patrick back. How you doing there, Robert Patrick? I'm gonna be rapping now. Up, down, left, right. Here we go. What?
Looking for like Morning Zoo theme songs, but there's not a lot.
Yo, what up, B?
I'm Robert Patrick. I am a cool rapper. Here we go. Up.
Albertsons, it's your store.
Catch a new wave, it's everyone's internet. Quality for quality. The greatest diamonds.
These diamonds.
Quality for quality. Anyways, I was just telling both of you, the Disaster Artist with the Franco Brothers is coming out, and it is about two idiots who were convinced they were making a very good movie, and they were not. Tommy Wiseau and his friend made this not the Oscar award winning movie, The Room. Just look up The Room, and the one where the lead actor, the director, the producer, and the writer are all the same person. Tommy Wiseau.
IMDb like 3.1 or something out of 10.
It's like you watch it and you're like, you got to be putting me on. This has got to be like a send up. They know they're making a fun, like on the cover of the DVD, which is the only way you can watch it. It's not on streaming anywhere. My girlfriend spent like $10 on this DVD, bought from Tommy Wiseau's website.
Wow, nice.
It's legit. Like you watch the behind the scenes, like the part of the extras on the DVD. It's fantastically real, and it is super bad. Like it is.
That's sad though.
But it's hilarious. So hilarious. They now market it. As a comedy, but it's wonderful.
Look, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's a bunch of babies that play basketball now.
I don't know any of the Spurs.
It's children. It's the same effect as like I watch any sport now. Everyone's in their teens and 20s, and it's like, oh, they're all babies. Look at these little children playing basketball.
Some of them are our age.
The ones nearing retirement.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ginobili's proven that you can keep going.
How old is Manu Ginobili? 40.
40.
He really, it's amazing he's still playing.
Yeah.
In just a few short years, like already, like I watch wrestling, I'm like, oh, I'm older than everybody. Oh, hey, there's Goldberg. Okay, I'm younger than him. Hey, I'm younger than Shawn Michaels.
Who's retired.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas is coming up.
Hey, I got a nice and suns and things and do and Christmas trees and stuff going out and buying stuff. Gotta buy a lot of things. The stress and anxiety attached to gift giving. Oh my God, kill me! Oh, Christmas time.
Merry Christmas, ladies.
Uh-oh. Merry Christmas, Mr. Bublé.
Are you ready?
You want
to
hear a guy that has firmly found his niche?
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
I make $1 million, just work like 6 days of the year and sing the same songs over and over. Michael Bublé, wouldn't you love my life? I'm a fucking multimillionaire, suck my wiener. That's how you do it, how you make it. You find it, you get yourself to be the one guy that does the thing. Michael Bublé didn't have to do shit.
Yep.
He sings the same songbook. Every couple years, every Christmas, hip dub 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 dub, just put out a couple versions of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and whatever. Silent night, whoa, trombones, like, and then he made, and then they put that little CD into every Starbucks in the world, and
it's true.
That's it. He made it.
Wow.
So dancing, dancing, fixing, battling, trombone solo.
So comforting.
I want to watch. I still haven't watched any of the Christmas movies I want. White Christmas is the one with Bob Hope. It's not Bob Hope. It's
Bob Newhart.
No, fuck. White Christmas. It's like an old.
That was
an old musical. Musical that Katie showed me. I like that.
Ridiculous.
Elf. I need to watch Elf. I need to watch Scrooge.
Home Alone.
I need to watch White Christmas. Once again. Maybe the ones I need to watch. I need to watch Muppet Christmas Carol.
Christmas Vacation.
Maybe. It's on like a next tier.
For me, it's Home Alone 1 and 2, Scrooged, Christmas Vacation, and Elf.
Well, I need the
Elf
stuff that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
That it's made it way up there on the Christmas tier. Good stuff.
It's fantastic.
I mean, second tier for me is like Jingle All the Way. The Santa Claus.
That's like.
I can't
those are terrible.
I can't watch
any. Those are bottom tier.
I can't watch anything with Tim Allen. I hate that guy.
I'm watching Home Improvement right now.
Well, there you go. I'm watching Mad Men.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm watching Doctor Who randomly.
And Vikings. I'm on like. Episode seven of season one.
My old friend Ragnar.
I love it. He just became the Earl or whatever, season one, and so they're gonna go fuck that guy in Northumbria. Yeah.
Is it now? I want to see if it's doing to you what it did to Justin and what it always does to me. Does it give you the itch to play Crusader Kings 2?
Oh, it definitely has made me think about it.
Lines the fuck up
it
with
does.
That show. I mean, theoretically speaking, I mean, Sigurd, his dad is in it. You can who has little young Ragnar. So you could start from the oldest and be able to raise Ragnar, or you can go to the next bookmark where you can play all the sons of Ragnar. So Ragnar's already it's historically. I'm not, but
right.
His sons, just his sons. Because you think, well, how can the show go on? Oh, it does.
Well, let's stop.
Yeah,
I really don't want anything spoiled.
This season. Oh, this season's been so.
I don't want anything spoiled.
What
I
about
like the show?
Walking Dead.
Honestly, the last couple of episodes, the episode with Eugene.
That was this week's.
That was fucking great. Like five.
I'm not
stars.
Gonna go any further because Taylor hasn't watched it.
I don't care.
You don't care?
You can spoil it. I don't care about that show.
I didn't care. I was not going to watch.
I still may watch it. I just don't care.
Between Justin and Alan, I mean, this has been a top flight season of that show.
Well, you were saying last season was too, when it just like ended with like,
The whole Negan storyline that's been going on for a couple of seasons, it's been so good.
I disagree. We finally disagree on something. That's good.
I think Negan's been great.
I think it's like Negan has been very strong. That acting. Wow, yeah. That's a great performance. I'll just say that.
There you go. Though this is what Walking Dead boils down to: characters and moments. Like, if you're trying to judge the whole thing, yes, it's a big sprawling thing. But like a lot of the things we love, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for example, it's a big, silly thing. It's huge. It's big, lots of moving parts. It's not going to be this perfect, concise story like Mad Men or even Game of Thrones is going to end up being, where it's six seasons, boom. But like certain characters, like this last episode focused on Eugene and some interactions between Negan and Eugene. Holy fucking. It's just, I was just sitting there. Normally I watch shows, even shows I really love, where like 15% of my attention is on a game or something, possibly more than that. When a show grabs my attention to the point where I have to pause and rewind and rewatch because it's so fucking good, the acting,
like
the character development. I'm just saying though, no, as a giant package, yes, it is much better than Walking Dead. But I'm saying Walking Dead still has these certain characters and sometimes character interactions where it really is still pretty impressive. You can't wipe the whole thing and say meh, because some of those moments are still really fucking good.
What about the scene, like the episode with Negan and Gabriel in the trailer?
Oh my god, just trapped.
Yeah.
And it, but like, or like this, just this last episode when Eugene storms into the room and gets in Gabriel's face and he's like, just finally fucking had it. And he's like, I'm going to fucking survive because that's what fucking Eugene does, then, is survive.
But then when it came time for him to actually pull the trigger, he fucking pussied out. He pussed out.
Because Eugene's a pussy.
Yeah.
And that's such a, I just.
Eugene is actually defying Negan in the new season.
Eugene is living with the Saviors. He's been kidnapped by Negan. He's like, you're mine now. Because
I know. Shot. I've seen the last season. He was there and he was cooperating with Negan.
He is still very much cooperating, okay. But he's like conflicted.
He's torn.
He's so torn for so much of this season. And then he makes his fucking decision. But still kind of is a major fucking pussy. Yeah. And it's just...
He's such a coward.
It ends with him sucking down a bottle of booze in his room. Like
he's like drinking bottle of wine out of like crying. Red wine out of the bottle.
It's just
barfing the wine up and drinking more wine. Like
gross. It's so great. It's so good. It's just his like some of the character studies in that show. That's what's keeping it alive. It's that they still have some very good characters and some of the situation like the cat, the tiger, man.
Yeah.
I had a serious reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough.
Yeah.
That was, I didn't see it coming. It fucking killed me because I'm like, because Ezekiel up to that point was the weakest character for me. But when you start to realize he's really like, when he says, no, I know this is all bullshit. You're like, oh, he's like legitimately like, no, I'm a fraud. I'm just smiling my way into He says it to Carol's fucking face, still smiling, and she's like, okay. But you're sitting there going, oh, he's really just like, nope, I'm nothing.
He was being who he needed to be for his people.
For his people and to just keep going. But when that, spoilers, do you give a shit? You don't give a shit?
I don't.
When the tiger fucking dies.
Yeah.
I already put that together.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty clear by what y'all had just said.
And all the props to that to the actor that plays Ezekiel, because the moment he's watching that cat get torn apart by zombies,
the life just drains out of him.
The last we've seen of him is him just going
on the stage,
just sitting on the stage, and Carol just going bye. Yeah. Like, oh God, it's still that show is fine. Like
it has moments.
Listen, there'll be episodes where I'm going like, and you know where I'm the most bored?
Rick,
Michonne, yeah. No, not Rick. Michonne and all the people.
Rosita and
fucking, oh, the black guy. I just don't
Morgan.
Care. Morgan. I'm like, but here's the thing. What is it time for? It's time to cull the herd, baby.
Yep.
It's like, it's one of those points in Walking Dead where it's like, it's like when WWE gets a couple weeks, like a month past WrestleMania, it's like, oh, some people are going to get released.
Like
there are some people going to get fired.
The mid-season finale is next week. It's a 90-minute episode. Someone's going to freaking die.
I bet you some folks are going to die. I bet you a lot of the Saviors are going to die.
Yep.
I bet you, and this is what Alan and I are betting on. She's like, oh, well, Gabriel's going to die. I'm like, no. She's like, but his organs are dying. I'm like, no. I'm like, you'll owe me one if he's back in Alexandria in a soft white bed recovering and Rick like, hey, buddy, we almost lost you, pal. Like, I bet you that's going to happen. And also, this is what I want. I want Eugene to die. But I want Eugene to die doing the right thing.
Yep.
And being brave and smiling
mm-hmm.
while he's torn apart limb from limb. Or bashed in the skull by Negan.
The season finale, the season premiere of this season
mm-hmm.
started with looking at three different points in time of Rick through the first episode, and one was like the far future Rick with like an old gray beard.
It was kind of a lot of these episodes have been filmed kind of fun.
Yeah,
like I felt the whole sequence here, like this is the way Rick's planned this whole thing where his plan was to get the Savior's building surrounded by zombies, trapping them all, giving him time to go to the trash people, convince them to help them, bring them in, and let them surrender. Like he had this whole giant plan that took place over a couple episodes. But here's the thing. Daryl gets it under his ass to fuck it all up. Fuck it all up. And this last episode ended with Rick realizing how badly fucked up everything is and this color draining from his face. And it left me going, Oh God! Uh-huh. Like it still has the ability. It is it because of the place it's at, where it's just kind of a semi institution. It's obviously I've said it. There's no end in sight. They're able to do some slow, season long storytelling that you don't get in some in a lot of TV. Like they are truly slow. Like over the last four episodes has been the.
Like this war could
have... Like this couple hours surrounding this attack on the Saviors, and it's been just great.
This attack could have gone into two episodes, but like they're really going into detail about the strategy that they put into
Rick,
it.
Like the amount of effort that Rick put into it, and Daryl just on a fucking hair up his ass.
But you realize that Eugene was the one that got them out somehow.
Daryl's fucked. I think Daryl and what's her name are gonna and Morgan are gonna be excommunicated. I think Rick is gonna be so fucking mad that they might be splitting into two groups now or something.
I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Like maybe an Alexandria group and a Rogue group. I don't know.
Can't explain why I don't feel the desire to watch it.
There's other stuff to watch.
I watched the last season and it was okay,
but it took some convincing for you to watch it.
It did. And I'm not blown away by it at all. I even lowered my rating on the spreadsheets down into the sevens now after that season. Even with Negan's performance, which I liked, but it was just...
There's too many performances I like, though. Yes, I am just as fatigued with a lot of the characters. Maggie, I'm done. Jesus, I'm done. Jesus. Michonne, I'm done. I wasn't that tore up about Glenn and what's his name because I was kind of done with Glenn too. I kind of do want it to move on because I love Eugene. I love Negan. I still love Rick. I like the trash people. I think that they're intriguing. I have so many questions. I'm
very
like,
mysterious.
How in like 4 years have they lost the ability to, why do they all talk like Yoda? What is the story? I want more. I still love Carol to death. Like every time I think Carol's going to die, I'm like, no, stop it. No.
Have y'all looked at our spreadsheet lately?
But I have not updated mine in months.
A few days ago.
I need to fix mine.
You do need to rate Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, I know. I have a lot to do.
But there's something about the recent seasons of Walking Dead. I feel like it's more before it tried to kind of have a tone of realism, and now it's just gone off into complete
now.
Fantasy
it's
sci-fi.
But look at how much I love post-apocalyptic stuff.
I love it too. But
and I like it's that it's taken on kind of a Fallout vibe with the different communities and that it's more about people and less about the pardon me zombies. Like nice. I'm digging where it's. I'm still enjoying because there's still not much on TV like it or a drama that's. We are now used to dramas that end in five or six seasons. Mm-hmm. Most of our top of our list are dramas that go about five, six, seven seasons. That's it. Walking Dead, I don't know. It's kind of an anomaly I think it deserves a weird credit for the fact that it is still, it's not terrible. I would not call Walking Dead a terrible show.
No.
I don't think you could either.
No.
I mean, if it's in the sevens, we've said if it's still above like a seven, it's something you could go, yeah, fuck them.
And on average,
oh, yeah.
it's still up in the eights for us. So.
So on average, it's still one of the best shows on TV. And how many seasons are this? Is season eight, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's.
I don't think it's one of the. That's a stretch to say it's one of the best shows on TV.
Really? I think
it's in our top 20.
That means. And think of how many fucking TV shows there are.
Yeah, but I'm. Find that hard to believe that there aren't a lot of other eights I'm not watching.
If it's on an eight, if it's an average eight on our list,
well, you're watching,
and you don't have it, and it's not in red or in the threes or something. You still have it in the sevens, right?
The only
7.7.
Would you
like
ever
that?
Feel comfortable dropping it below a seven? I don't think it would have to get real.
No, I wouldn't.
Shitty.
No, but it's gotten to a point where I don't go out of my way anymore, and I don't look forward to it. I don't really care.
There are a few eights that you haven't watched. Like overall eights.
Like what?
You're watching Vikings, which is up there in the eights. Silicon Valley.
So like who's
Orange is the New Black?
Who like what more opinions on Vikings? I'm so glad everyone likes Vikings. Like I've just watched that in a bubble for so long. Like I want more opinions from you too, Justin. Like what What all do you like? What do y'all like? I love that show. I love it so much. I sometimes I combat with thinking it's like my like, not talking about our quantified list, but it's one of my fucking favorite TV shows ever. Like I love Vikings so much. It just tweaks a something in, like Rolo. I love his weird relationship with his brother and when they start kind of going to other lands when you start getting more English and more.
I don't know.
French.
I want Taylor to watch more of it before we can really talk about it because I don't want to.
Yeah, I agree with Justin. Please stop.
Oh, I want to talk about more.
Please stop.
Yeah, because I'm really liking the show. I like what they've done so far. It's great. I love the characters. It feels authentic. It feels real. It's well done.
I mean, so well acted.
Not
so well acted.
Very well acted.
There aren't many shows that make me want to research the characters. I went to Wikipedia all throughout that show and researched like every little character that I saw that
they,
it's
based in. I mean, Norse. It all mythology and history. Norse. It blends together. It's sort of like how some people say with like Jesus Christ, there were possibly like multiple prophets that inspired some of the. That's with Ragnar. There were probably like 15 different brave Viking dudes that all their deeds are accredited to this sort of amorphous name, Ragnar Lothbrok.
Because they're all just legend.
Show, they've kind of woven a few, like Lagertha and Aslog are both real mythical historical figures.
And Aslog was actually married to Ragnar.
Was married to Ragnar or dead.
But Rolo was not Ragnar's brother.
Rolo was not Ragnar's brother.
It's a whole other story.
He's a dude. And Aslog is an actual shield maiden. Lagertha's an actual shield maiden from, of note.
Right.
And they used her as inspiration for Ragnar's wife.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. And yeah, you can just click and click and click and click and all these Wikipedia entries about the different people and what they did and who what it might be accredited to and
Wikipediaing that show, I didn't mind it because I knew it was like semi-historical. So I mean, the story
you can't look up Ragnar without learning how Ragnar dies.
Yeah, true.
Don't Wikipedia because the minute you Wikipedia Ragnar Lothbrok, it talks about the tale of King Ayla and what happens with him, and that's and it inspires the actual real life invasion of Saxon England by the sons of Ragnar. These Vikings that just tore the then took York and raided in Scotland and
but I also
East Anglia.
It made me research like how the Scandinavian people feel about Vikings and I read about like. The landmarks that were left over by, Viking culture that are still there.
How do they feel?
They're like, it's
very proud.
It's part of our history. They are us. We are them. Kind of thing.
Well, the show shows. I mean, yes, they're bloodthirsty, the Vikings, when they're raiding and stuff. But it's not willy nilly, and they do make they make a distinction between.
That's one thing that surprised me about the show is because I didn't know a lot about Vikings. But when I watched the show, I realized that they're not just complete savages.
No, they're just
somewhat civilized.
It's how they survived and how they flourished by raiding.
I mean, they were primitive, but they were very civilized.
They're
it's fascinating. A
legitimate civilization for sure.
I'm fascinated with the.
They were very advanced with their ships.
Scandinavian culture.
They were a big deal.
Navigation.
Good old
Floki.
The sundial thing. Yeah.
Yep.
That's mm-mm.
It's good.
Ragnar. The whole process of during the show of Ragnar, how they goes to England and how it all happens.
Hey, come on. Okay.
Yeah.
That's enough.
It's
let's move to a different subject if we're gonna have to keep fast forwarding because I'm watching it and I wanna experience it. So yeah. Yeah. So Mad Men.
What?
Oh hell yeah.
It's going to be a long time until I watch Mad Men again, I think. I don't know if I can do it.
It's worth another watch.
It's so intense.
It's very intense. It's also fantastic.
I'm so glad I watched it again.
Oh, it's so much.
What are you watching? You're watching Doctor Who.
I'm watching Doctor Who. I'm in like season 2. What? Who are you? What? I'm right there. So I just had the big emotional Rose and Doctor thing, and I'm like, okay, now I'm into like the part of Tennant that I like the most.
Yeah.
Martha and Donna.
I can't get into Doctor Who. I've given up again.
It's interesting.
It's not, I'm never surprised when somebody's not
into it. It's just the tone of the show. Yeah, I don't like it.
It just gets me. It's funny when I want it to be funny, and it's super sincere and emotional when I need it to be sincere and emotional.
But I've said I've stopped before, and then I started back up.
True.
Again.
Oh, man. So. And hey, I'm not watching every episode. I'm skipping some episodes. I'm getting to stuff I like, and I'm fast forwarding and jumping around certain ones that I like. Like the game show episode in season one.
I've seen that one.
Parts of it I love,
yeah.
And parts of it I don't like so much. And
I think my favorite episode is still Blink with Sally Sparrow.
No, I like a lot of the storyline stuff. Honestly, I love when it's like he's just it's the fucking Daleks, or it's the like I just went through the whole Cyberman, the first Cyberman story in season two.
Yeah,
and it's just and with Pete Tyler and Jackie Tyler and Rose Tyler and Mickey Smith and Ricky Smith. My gran, Rose. Yeah, I remember my old gran. Come on, Roche.
Ricky dies, so Mickey stays behind.
Mickey stays behind. The alternate universe, the Zeppelins.
Yeah.
The cyber controller guy. We'll grab everyone.
That episode tears me up whenever like Rose and Tennant are split. Like just.
But this is something I realized. The cyclical nature of everything up to the War Doctor, the way the Bad Wolf version of Rose helps the War Doctor, who regenerates into
Eccleston, yeah,
who then has the relationship with Rose, where right. It leads to her absorbing the heart of the TARDIS, allowing her to be that entity that helps him.
Yeah, but see,
it's like,
but
love that.
That's the kind of time travel I hate in TV shows.
See, but Doctor Who, due to how you kind of suspend your disbelief a little bit in terms of it makes it magical enough to where it doesn't bug me. Like it, because all you have to do is say, because Doctor Who's science has it's still, but it's just a little bit mad. Like, yeah. Oh, it's so technologically advanced. You just, it's almost magic. I love that. Time Lords are so advanced, like time without end. So they have technology.
Well, they talk about, you know, there's only a few fixed points in time, and everything else is just, you know.
It's you know what my favorite episode is? Girl in the Fireplace.
Yeah, I do like that one.
That is perfect encapsulation of what I love about Doctor Who. Silly.
Okay, favorite.
Silly. No, but it's silly. It's gross. It's unsettling, and it's heartfelt.
What is your favorite Martha episode?
She's not like my fourth or fifth favorite.
Just saying.
Companion.
What's the episode that sticks out in your mind when you think about Martha?
Probably when I'm not remembering.
For me, it's the hospital on the moon.
That's right. Yeah, where the hospital gets plucked up and placed on the moon, and she has to kind of shine.
Uh-huh.
Near the end, where she's less like, or she realizes she's never going to be Rose, when she just. Right. That's where I love her the most is yep. Right about when she leaves the doctor. She's like, you know what? I'm obviously never going to be Rose.
And then who she becomes after that is just like just a badass.
And nothing makes me cry more than Donna. And just fucking her grandpa.
Yeah.
Just every time that last beat where he's all, like, I just can't help it. I start tearing up. I'm just like,
I know.
Well, just the unfairness of how Donna ends up.
Do y'all consider Rose a good character?
I do.
Yeah.
Really?
Because she rises I know that that's a hard one.
It is.
Because they set her up to be just this chav, but her struggle immediately, the pull between her mom and Mickey, who don't understand. She's just imagine where she came from. She kind of fucked up out of high school, ends up working as a shop chick, just kind of still not really sure. And then she sees the things that she sees, and then she comes back. That whole struggle between her regular life and her at that point saying, I'm going to be with you forever. Like, that's the way I'd, if any of us were with like, companions with this alien that could take you everywhere, I'd be like, oh, I'm, this is never.
Not to mention her unrequited love for the doctor. Like,
it's, I like the relationship with Rose and Eccleston more than I like the relationship between Rose and Tennant. I'm glad that, because, okay, when I think, these are the groupings I think of. Eccleston, Rose, and the Daleks. That's, boop, Tennant, Donna / Martha less, and the Cybermen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know any of those.
No, you'll get, I mean, Smith, you might get there.
Smith, the Pawns.
Of course.
And the Silence.
Yeah.
And you know what? And with Capaldi, it's Missy, the best version of the Master.
But my favorite Smith moment was when he was talking to the big fireball in the sky, and then the song is going on in the background.
No one does the like yelling at the sky speech like fucking Smith. My favorite Smith episode, very first one.
Yeah,
when he first meets,
trying to figure himself out,
and he's eating the different food and spitting it at the little girl and stuff.
But
my ruggedy doctor.
That song. What is that song called? Shit, I can't remember now. I it's on Spotify.
Favorite Capaldi run was definitely with the latest little companion, the black girl, the black lesbian girl. That whole thing was the, how that ended. It was wonderful. I'm excited for the lady. I'm excited for that because I've watched a lot of interviews with her, the girl that's going to be the doctor, the first female doctor.
Right.
She's clever and excited and cute and funny. I'm fucking, I don't get why people are so, oh, it's a girl. Okay. Who gives a shit?
Because it's wrong. No, I'm kidding.
Like, there is no gender or race swap character, gender or race swap that you could throw at me that I would not be like, sure, why not? Give it a go.
Because with Doctor Who, it doesn't at all. It doesn't at all.
Story, in character.
Way of doing it.
Yeah. So it's not even blatant. It's like, oh, he just, you know, a Time Lord regenerates into whatever sex.
This wouldn't be like one season, you know, you have a guy Spider-Man and the next season the Spider-Man's just the girl. That would
Petra Parker.
Right. Like, it's like, what? This is...
No, with comic books, they just make another character.
Right. Which works.
It's like four different female spider people. There's Spider-Gwen. What is... Which yelling at the sky? When he regenerated or...
Remember her?
Okay, then.
She had to sing to, like...
That's what I'll do.
The ancestors that were, like, coming alive.
I'll tell you a story.
I need to... I'm finishing the whole series again in my... expedited way. Is that the one with the sky sharks? Is that the episode with the sky sharks?
The big sun with the face.
Yeah, I mean, it was that one.
He's standing on the edge of a cliff, looking up at that big thing.
And wasn't it there were interspersed moments of Clara's like belief?
I don't think so.
I'm getting like three or four different things here.
All these people who lived in terror of you and your judgment. All these people whose these ancestors...
Are the, this is the stuff that fuels me with Doctor Who, though. Those moments where you're just like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
Triumphant goodness!
Lullaby for a sleeping
that
god.
That show just squirts out the right combination of proud, triumphant, sort of modest heroism that, like... Oh, I just need that slathered on me like fucking butter on toast. Like, I need to know that those thoughts exist in this fucking cold, cold, unkind world that we live in right now. That there's just this, I don't know, beating heart of goodness that humanity just can't escape. You know, even if it's just in our stupid TV shows and stuff, there's still people that think these thoughts and believe that this sort of goodness exists.
It's all fake.
Oh.
It's all fake.
Fake news. There's no goodness in the world, folks. It's a deep, dark cesspit. So you might as well just think about yourself. Just don't think about anything else but you.
Mr. Trump.
Life's short and gross and greasy, so you might as well grab and grope and get and do it and stick it in your ears.
Mr. Trump, I didn't realize you were a philosophizer.
Fuck you, brother. I'm Donald fucking Trump. I'm the president of the goddamn United States.
Salute.
American heart and honor. We're gonna offer it up to Trump. We're gonna take a knife to the whole idea of being a good person and just go fuck it as long as my guy wins, even if my guy is a mentally deficient fool. Woo! Woo! Let's not talk about that guy anymore. I hate Donald Trump. I hate him. I hate the president. He's a piece of shit.